We are now at the point of fencing the table, and I would like you to open your Bible in Galatians chapter 5, and we will read from verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. At this point, we spend a short time considering who are those that have the right to come forward and sit at the table, and those who don't have such a right. And we could divide the whole people, the whole world, in two groups of people: as those that could sit at the table and those that could not. Because there are only two kinds of people in the world. There are the Christians and those who are not Christians. They might have a different color of skins, a different nation, different tribe. There are only two groups. One group of people who are the Lord's people, and those who are not. And the Apostle Paul divides this and speaks of these groups as those that walk according to the flesh and those that walk according to the Spirit. Those that live in the flesh with an earthly mind and a mind of flesh, and those that have a spiritual life who are led by the Spirit. And so the question for you and for me is, which people do we belong to? Are we the Lord's people, or are we not? Only those that are the Lord's people can sit at the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper is a Christian institution. It's a Christian ordinance, and therefore belongs to the Christian. It's not open to everyone. It is open only to the people of God. And you have this clearly in the example of Christ. When the Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, only His disciples were there. Not everyone, but only His own. And so if you are thinking about sitting at the Lord's table, the question for you is, are you the Lord's people? And you say, how do I know this? The Lord's people is a believing people. We are believers. First and foremost, we are believers. And if you are one who believes in Christ, you have access to the table of Christ. If you are a man or a woman who trusts in Christ, whose hope is in Christ, you have the right to come and sit at the Lord's table. I'm not saying assurance. The table is not for those who are assured in Christ, but it's for them that hope in Christ, for them that hope in the mercy of God. Not for those who are 100% sure of going to heaven, for those that hope in Christ and in Christ they have hope for heaven. So it is a believing people. But secondly, it's a repenting people. A true Christian, a member of God's people, is someone who knows repentance. Not once in a while, not once off, once in the past when I became a Christian. But the people of God are those that repent, are those that turn from their evil ways day after day. And every time God shows to them something wrong in their life, they turn and follow God. And so the question, do you know repentance? Are you a man or a woman who repents from her sin? Do you turn from your sin daily? Maybe even just now. Have you been made aware of some sins in your life that you need to turn from it? You're the kind of person that flee to God for mercy, that asks God to be saved, or not? It is for repenting people. But also, it is for loving people. Jesus says that what will make clear to the world that we are his disciples is that we love one another. And the Ten Commandments are summarized in love for God and love for your neighbors. The Christians are people that love. People that love God first and also their neighbors. Do you love God? Do you love to love God? Do you long to be able to love God? Is it your desire to delight in God and to rest in God? If you have this, the table is for you. The rest of the world finds no beauty in Christ. The world esteem him not, but for them that believe, he is precious. And if you have any love for Christ, I'm not saying a great love, but a little love for him. And if you would love to love him more, it is because you are of the Lord. But also, the people of God are a following people. And this is an expression that I learned in the Western Island, which I think it is appropriate for the people of God. Over there, they don't ask, is he believing? Or is he professing faith? The question is he following? And disciples are followers. The Christians are those that walk with Christ. They have fellowship with him and follow him. Some of them follow very closely. They walk really close to Christ. They can see Christ very well in their experience. It's almost as they are at his presence all the time. Other maybe are a bit further back. And yet they are following. Not so faithfully as other men are doing. Not so closely as they could and should. But they are following. Maybe they are falling quite a lot in the meanwhile. And backsliding quite a lot. But yet they are following. And if you are following Christ, it doesn't matter how far you are from him. If you are following him, you are of the Lord's people. And the table of God is open to the people of God. So this is about the fencing. Will you be coming forward? Will you be sitting at the Lord's table? Make sure that you are the Lord's people. Let us now sing from Psalm 118. As you can see, the elements are already on the table. So while we sing this psalm, those that are intending to sit at the table, please come forward. Psalm 118, beginning at verse 15. It is good for a Christian church that everything we do in the worship of God be warranted by the Word of God. And I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when we have this warrant. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And following the example of Christ, let us bow our head and pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this occasion which is given to us. An occasion of great privilege that we do not deserve. We thank you, O Lord, for the word preached to us. We thank you, O God, for the table set before us. We thank you, O Lord, for the bread, which reminds us the body of our blessed Savior, broken for our sins. We thank you, O Lord, for the wine, that though remains always wine, yet it helps us and reminds us the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. O Lord, receive us into your presence, we pray. Come among us, O God. Show yourself, that we might behold our Lord and Savior. Bless this time around your table. Forgive all our sins, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is one verse that I want to share with you in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And just briefly, brethren, let's spend some time considering the love of Christ. Notice that he says that having loved his own. And this is in a context of the Lord's Supper. It was the last supper that he had with his disciple before his death. In Luke we are told that he said that he desired with a great desire. And now we are told here in John that having loved his own. You are here sitting at the table because Christ has loved you. Because of his love. Not because of your faithfulness. Not because of your zeal. Not because you're a wonderful person, but because Christ loved his people. And this love is a selective love. Having loved his own. Not everyone, not every person in the world, but his own. And you are the special object of the love of Christ. You are among the most special people in this world. You are among those who are loved by Christ. What a privileged people we are. We are the object of the love of the Son of God. When Christ looks upon us, He is full of love for us. And you are the receiver of this love. This is a selective love. And notice, it's an undeserved love. Having loved His own, which were in the world. He's loving people of the world. He didn't find us in a holy place. The Lord Jesus found us in the world, among His enemies. There we were by nature, hating Him, fighting against Him and His word, rejecting His gospel. And yet, He was full of love for us. It is a selective love, a sovereign love. It's an undeserved one. You does not deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be among the Lord's people. I don't deserve, neither do you. We are all hell-deserving sinners. We should be there in the torments of hell already, all of us. And yet we are at the table of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Having loved His own. But notice, it's a personal love. His own people. He doesn't say having loved the church. Having loved His own. We are His brethren. And He is ours. We are His people. He bought us to a great price. He has bought us with His own blood. We are so precious to Christ that He gave His life for us that we might be His. And the Bible speaks of this relationship with Christ, not just as Christ loving the church, but we are His bride. He loves us as a husband loves his wife. And this love for the church is so great that the Bible uses as a pattern for us husband. Love your wife as Christ has loved the church, giving His life for her. It's a personal love. It's for us. It is for us. And I'm sure you experience this, Christian. You think that the love of Christ is for you. Not for many. You know it's for many. And you know that many other people are loved by Christ. But you feel, it is for me. It is for me. It's a personal love. But also our text tells us it is an enduring love. Having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. Unto the end. Not just when we are obedient. Not just when we are faithful. Not just when we are in church. The love of Christ for us who are His people is to the end. In a temporal way, but also in its nature. It never changes. It doesn't change with us. To the end. Whatever the cost is of this love, He still loves His people. He doesn't love us when it's easy. He loves us even when it's not. Though it's always easy for God, but He was willing to give His life for us. And the difficult thing in love is when time goes on and the difficult areas of our wives and husbands come out, and then it becomes harder to show love to that person. We start to get used to things. And we are not so zealous towards our beloved wife or husband as we should. But Christ, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Whatever the sacrifice were required, whatever the cost to pay was, whatever the failures were, He would love them to the end. And you are a blessed people. You might have suffering recently. You might have had a very difficult providence in your life. You might feel a bit discouraged. But Christ loves you, Christian. He doesn't love everyone the way He loves you. You are His, and He is yours. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You for Your love. We pray, O Lord, that we would be made aware and enabled to understand the height, the depth, and the breadth of this love. And we pray, O God, that transformed by this love, that we would be able to love Christ with all our heart, with all our souls, with all our mind. O Lord, we pray for this occasion. We pray, O Lord, that You would now consecrate this bread and this wine for the sacramental use. That You, O Lord, would sanctify this moment. That You would sanctify our souls and hearts. And forgive all our sins. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me. Read again from Isaiah 53, the last verse. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Now was in our pre-table address, we looked at the love of Christ, and I would like to have this address now, concentrating on the glory of Christ and the lordship of Christ. His humiliation, yes, it is for our good, but in His humiliation, He was glorified. Because of what He suffered, because of the humiliation that He went through, He has now a name which is above every name. He has a portion with the great, and He will divide the spoil with the strong. Yes, He is our blessed Savior. Oh, He is. There is none like Jesus for us. But He is also our Lord. He has done everything for us. He has redeemed us, suffering terrible suffering for us, that we might be His beloved and faithful people. And as we are now leaving this table, as we go through the week, through our normal business, let us be serving Christ. He is Lord, a gracious Lord. It shouldn't be difficult for us to serve one who did so much for us. It shouldn't cost too much to give up something for His glory. And so, brethren, He made us His people. Let us live a life which is worthy of Him. And for those who haven't come to the table, for those who are not the Lord's people, you might see in Christ but someone who suffered. And you might think that Christ is a weak Savior. But remember, He has a portion with the great. And so far, you have resisted Him. So far, you have been rejecting Him as a Savior, but also as a Lord. And another communion season is almost gone, and you're still resisting Christ and His will. When the judgment comes, when you will stand before Christ, you will stand before God. You will stand before the one who has received from the Father the right to judge all the earth. The invitation is still open. Come to Christ. Humble yourself before King Jesus. Acknowledge Him to be Lord. One of His doubting disciples, when he saw the risen Christ, not the crucified one, but the risen one, he called Jesus my Lord and my God. He is Lord. Obey Him. Now, as we rise from the table, we do so singing from Psalm 103.